back here on the Mighty 690 KGGF, live from our KGGF studios in Coffeyville, segment number two with the K-State Extension Office, except we are without one.
Minus one.
Exactly. And
really, quite as full now.
for truth as well, as that is Keith Martin's last time, unfortunate, but it is Jerry Guerin and Barbara Ames in studio with us this morning here in the 8 o'clock hour. It looks like, Jerry, we've got quite a few courses that you guys have got coming up. I'm not sure if it's for December or for the next year, but go ahead and let's just give the listeners the lowdown of everything.
Yep, it's kind of our busy time of year. We always talk that, you know, winter is our kind of the beginning of our ag season. So the first meeting we have is actually tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
There is still some space available for the QuickBooks training. So if anyone's interested in learning about QuickBooks, it's going to be centered more towards ag, your ag business. But if there's someone out there that's just looking for a good record keeping system, they can come. There's going to be several examples, so it should be applicable to most people. But I would say the majority of the information is going to be more pertained towards ag producers. But if you're interested in that, the RSVP date is passed, but Keith Martin and I were just talking, and we still have a few spots. So if you're interested, go ahead and call the Altima office at 620-784-5337. There is a $20 fee for this one, so keep that in mind. But if you're interested in QuickBooks, it's tomorrow, so go ahead and hurry up and get registered.
Yeah, and I'm sure, you know, just in my field alone, I have a lot of areas that I need organizational skills, but I'm sure in agriculture there's a lot of numbers,
there's
a lot of names, there's a lot of things that you can get
definitely
scrambled. So to have a good organizational system, whether it's with QuickBooks or something that you do yourself, it's good to at least have, you know, some training behind it.
That's right, and it's going to be at the Parsons area office from 10 to 3, so
very cool.
Give you a little bit of time tomorrow. Okay, so the next meeting I'll mention is Agronomy Night here in Independence. This is an annual event, been going on for quite some time now, but it's going to be December 17th. It's already next Monday, coming right around the corner. This year it's going to be at ICC West. So in the past, people probably remember it's been in the Civic Center, so don't go to the Civic Center, go to ICC West. Registration and meeting with all the exhibitors and sponsors will start at 5:30, and then at 6 o'clock, Dr. Roger McGowan, who is he works for Washburn University, he's going to talk about agriculture fence and lease laws. So great topic, very timely. He's probably the leading expert in our area. Really. So he's going to be a great speaker. We're going to have a free dinner courtesy of all the sponsors. That's going to be at 6:50. And then our other speaker will be Dr. Doug Jardine. He is the plant pathologist from K-State, and I believe he's going to talk about soybean diseases. So come for Roger McGowan and Doug Jardine. And as usual, there's going to be door prizes at the end, and you'll hear from sponsors. So it's a really, really good meeting. Probably one of the better agronomy meetings we have across our district. So Agronomy Night is December 17th. If you're interested in that, call our Independence office at 620-331-2690.
Yeah,
looks like you have a lot of great sponsors there, too.
Yes,
on the
We do like to thank all of our sponsors for being a part of this meeting. We usually get good sponsorship there, and we do appreciate them always supporting us.
Great. Yeah, and we're speaking with James Cooper a couple weeks ago. He kind of hinted on Agronomy Night coming up and things like that, and he had, you know, just mentioned that it's kind of an annual thing.
Yep.
You know, you guys bring this around, and it has grown each year in and out. And again, you had mentioned timely on the lease laws. Yeah, it's about time to, if you haven't done it, at least start looking into it and getting that on your spectrum as well. So,
for sure. Yep. So come again for Agronomy Night, December 17th. One more meeting I'll kind of talk at length about, I guess, is our soybean school. As people know, there's usually just a handful of soybean schools and corn schools that are selected across the state. They're put on by basically campus folks, but Southeast Kansas area, we were chosen again, the Parsons area office. So we're one of, I think, three or four locations who are getting a soybean school, and also we're going to get a corn school later, but the soybean school is going to be January 15th. So really, that's not that far away anymore. We're looking about a month.
Yeah.
So, but it's going to have some good topics. We'll have an insect update, some crop production stuff, markets, which will be pretty valuable, definitely with the commodity prices and just everything we have going on with trade. Also, we'll have topics on soil fertility and weed control. So again, this will be at our Southeast Area office on January 15th. If you are interested in coming to this, registration is going to start at 3 in the afternoon, and then we're going to adjourn at 7. So it's a little bit odd for times, but that's kind of how this one's going to run. And you can call our Girard office at 620-724-8233.
Great, yeah, and you had mentioned, you know, you think you have a little bit of time to prepare January 15th. Oh, it's next year.
Yeah.
No, it's, I mean, it's right around
it's
the corner.
It's right around the corner.
My goodness, but still, you got a good little bit of time to get involved with those classes as well. And then what's his last flyer
you
got right here?
The last thing is just to save the date on the Farmers Market Regional Workshop. It's going to be February 2nd in Parsons at the area office. So if you're interested in that, just go ahead and put that on your calendar.
Yep.
So, and Barbara and I were talking. Christmas is only, what did we say, 13 days away?
13 days.
Yep, I got the countdown at my calendar going right now. Countdown to Christmas, in fact. So, I've been, you know, interested in hearing a lot of, you know, maybe diving into some safe food, you know, safety tips as well for the upcoming holiday season, whether it's baking. I know, you know, there's a lot of people baking pies, baking sweets. They're also cooking, you know, meats, things like that. It's a big meal that you have to prepare for Christmas.
Meal.
So, Barb, did you have any good tip pieces of, you know, advice? We'll start with baking first. We'll start with the sweets.
Start with baking.
Yeah,
all
the
right.
Sweets, the pies and stuff. Is there any good tips that you might have for the listeners?
Well, one of the things I just wanted to call to people's attention is, you know, you probably heard that eating raw cookie dough is not a good thing because of the eggs and the salmonella and that kind of thing. But a lot of people really aren't aware about the problem with raw flour that can also make you sick. You know, and this is a holiday time when we're doing a lot of that baking and everybody's looking forward to decorating those sugar cookies and things. But if you're tempted to eat that raw cookie dough, probably need to resist that temptation because there's bacteria from animal waste and other sources that can contaminate the grain in the harvesting process or throughout the transportation to the flour mill or, you know, during the milling process. So we just want to encourage people that there can be a problem there, and it's typically, flour is not typically heat treated or anything to kill bacteria, so that means it's not safe to eat until it's properly cooked. And I know a lot of people have eaten raw cookie dough before and with no ill effects, and yeah, raise your hand there. Probably everybody has, but you know, not everybody is that lucky. It's kind of like I say with a lot of the food safety things, it's not going to happen every time, but I always say it's like playing Russian roulette with your family's health, because like in 2016, there were about 60 people that got sick from E. coli bacteria that was linked to contaminated raw flour. And that was, you know, something that, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, they had to recall about 10 million pounds of flour and products that were containing flour, including bread and pastries and pancake mixes. And also store-bought cookie dough that's, you know, when sometimes you want to take the easy way and buy that cookie dough that you slice off. In 2009, there was actually an outbreak traced to prepackaged raw cookie dough, and about 72 people got sick, and a lot of those were hospitalized. So it's just wise to be careful with that. But cookie dough ice cream, we don't need to worry about, because typically that has been heat treated and it'll be fine.
Great. Yeah, it's... Yeah, you're crushing my dreams here, Barbara. I'm telling you, I love
news.
That part of making the cookies, and you got that little bit left in the bowl. But no, you make a very good point. Something that you know, I learned something today. You always blame the poultry, whatever
right.
it may be. It's the eggs, it's the poultry,
right.
it's something to do with that. But man, I had no idea that the flour could contain such bacteria.
Right. Well, that's what they're telling us. And also, our food safety specialist, our extension food safety specialist, also mentioned when she wrote this article about the fact that bacteria have changed over the years, and so they may be more likely to cause ill effects now than they have been in the past. So it is important to be careful.
So anybody out there making doughs or cookie doughs, crusts, whatever it may be, you got to fight the urge, fight the urge.
Just but, fight that temptation. Yeah.
Like just you picture said, though, a don't... mouse chewing on a grain, and that'll keep you from...
Well, also, you know, you had mentioned, you know, Russian roulette with your family, because it's not just you that's going to be eating those cookies, or it's not just you that might take a hand in on that bowl and get that bacteria. It could be the young ones, it could be the kids, teenage, anybody that comes around. So you're not just affecting yourself, it's everybody
that's
else
right.
involved. So.
And another thing that was that I hadn't really thought about, but the FDA offered some tips about preparing cookies and, you know, things containing raw flour. And they suggested that you should make sure that children don't eat or taste dough used in crafts. Because sometimes we use make a flour and water paste as a or make a flour and water mixture as kind of a paste or a, something like that when we're doing crafts. And so that's not safe if children would get it on their hands and then put it in their mouth either. So something else to think about.
And again, it's one of those things where you just don't really think about it because kids use their hands for everything. I'm poking it around, whichever, and you know.
That's
and
right.
If they got to poke it, I got to put it in my mouth, right? That's the rule of the kids. But
so, Barbara, are there recommendations, you know, for like meat? There's a certain temperature you have to cook, let's say, turkey to. Do they have any recommendations on breads or cookies?
Yes,
or
they
like
do.
That?
Actually, there are some suggested final internal temperatures for baked goods. Layer cakes would be 205 to 210 degrees Fahrenheit. Pound cakes, 210. Muffins, 210. Quick breads, 210. So that's pretty typical. Yeast breads, 195 to 210. And rolls, 190 to 195. And bundt cakes, 212. So right in that range is what they recommend that you bring it up to.
Baking's so tough for me, too, because, you know, you don't want to make it, you know, overly cooked. It's at such a fine line to where it hits that temperature and then it's still moist on the inside. It's an art. Baking is an art
form. It is an art.
That's why I give it to my girlfriend most of the time, not me. I do the cooking. I do all the meats and everything. She does the baking with that as well. So.
I've really found that I do a better job when I use a thermometer for baking or for, you know, cooking meats or whatever, because I have a tendency to want to cook it until I'm sure it's done. And sometimes if I use that thermometer, I find out it's done before it gets quite as done as I would have made it, you know. And so I have a better product.
Or dry out the
turkey,
whatever.
I have a better product because it's not so dry. So that thermometer is a pretty handy thing to keep on hand.
Cool. Now, some pretty good tips for maybe some holiday baking. Just any in general, some food safety for the upcoming holiday season. Obviously, you know, there's going to be a lot of family and friends coming over. You got to keep things sanitary.
That's right. And, you know, whenever we're cooking this time of the year, a lot of times we're cooking in quantity. Like you said, family and friends coming over. And so we need to pay special attention to those food safety rules that we talk about so much. Because most of the time we're not cooking a great big turkey or something. And we need to be reminded that we need to get that turkey up to 165. You know, all poultry needs to be cooked to 165 degrees. And don't rely on that pop-up thermometer. It doesn't go in very deep, and you need to check it with a regular thermometer and check it in two or three places around the bird to make sure it's the right temperature. Make sure that you cool things down quickly and get them in the refrigerator within a couple of hours if you have leftovers, and then heat things back up to the right temperature quickly, and you know all those food safety rules that we typically talk about.
I was going to ask you a question as well. I'm trying to remember because I was I worked in the kitchen for a long, long time. Now, the process of trying to freeze something, do you have to cool it in the refrigerator and then put it in the freezer, or can you just cool it in the room temperature and then throw it in the freezer for later storage?
Well, you want to cool things down just as quickly as you can. So that may mean getting it in the refrigerator. We always talk about reducing it down into smaller batches so you can get it cooler quicker. Or like if you're making a soup or something like that, you can reduce the amount of liquid that goes in and then cool it down with some ice cubes, and that can be part of the liquid that goes into it, and that'll get it down cooler faster, then get it frozen. And when you're thawing, of course, where do we not want to thaw? Of course, on the counter at room temperature.
Yeah, on the counter or in warm water or just the allowing the bacteria to grow, whether it's on a bird or whatever it may be.
Right, and we can cool it under running water if we change that water like every 30 minutes and make sure it stays pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's cool to like warm temperature water, nothing that's going to provide any steam off of it or anything like that, right? Like the temperature of the water?
If you're thawing. I was talking about thawing. Oh, yeah, okay. You want to keep it fairly cool. That's why you're going to change it. You kind of want running water over it and keeping it cool.
Great stuff. Just want to stay safe for the holidays, and more importantly, want to make those cookies as delicious as possible. Mm-hmm. So, again, great
stuff.
Don't eat the dough. As Barbara Ames and Jerry Guerin in with us from the K-State Extension offices. Any final notes for the listeners before we lose you?
Well, I'd just say if you're interested in QuickBooks, better hurry up and get called in. So that's tomorrow.
Yeah, you better be on that pretty quick yourself. So I'll tell you what. But again, we'll check in with K-State, I believe, next week. And then I don't know if we'll see you for the following week after that, after Christmas. If not, if I don't see either of you two next week, have a very, very happy holiday.
Same to you.
We appreciate
Merry
that.
Merry Christmas. Happy New
Merry
Year.
Christmas. Thanks to you so much. And all the listeners.
Great stuff. It's the Mighty 690 KGGF.